Listen, Recovery Road, I had a number of people write me and text me and different things this week about encouragement from last week's message. You know, I think God's doing a good thing in a lot of people's heart. I hope all of us, I hope He's touching all of us as we talk about this road to recovery. We've been doing this acrostic. You can see the words there, what we've talked about in weeks past. Last week, we talked about how it was so important to voluntarily submit to every change that God wants you to make in your life and to humbly ask Him to remove any character flaws. Remember that? And I either said that your character is either getting you closer to God or taking you further away from God. And last week, we talked a lot about this idea of living in the sweet spot. You know, living in that place in life where you just, you know, like a baseball player that hits the sweet spot, and or a tennis player or golf, you know, you hit the sweet spot, and just not only does it feel good, you get the most results from it. And it's that way spiritually in life too. All of us have a spiritual sweet spot. And today we're going to talk about something different, and that is this idea of you know, making changes, and we'll get to that in a minute. But you know, a lot of times in our desire to make changes, we can make it worse. I heard a guy said this about something that he found in Chicago in a paper. It said in last week's issue, a picture showed some very unusual Oriental dishes which were enjoyed by a party of foreign exchange students. Mai Thai Thin is an exchange student who was standing in the center of the picture, and we incorrectly listed her as one of the items on the menu. Sometimes in our desire to make things better, we can make things worse. It also said in a recent article, we referred to the chairman of the Chrysler Corporation as Lee Iacocca. And they made the corrections and said that his real name is Lee Iacocca. Sometimes we try to do things differently, and we can make it worse. You see, here's what the verse says to us today, and we have to make sure that we understand this, because we're here to evaluate. We're here to evaluate all of our relationships. And to offer and to do two things. Offer to forgiveness to those that we've hurt. And secondly, to make amends for those that we've harmed. Except, of course, where it would do more harm. God calls us to make amends, to make things right. But He doesn't want us to make it worse. And I think that's a lot of times exactly what we do. The Apostle Paul tells us how to do this in Ephesians chapter 4. When he says that we are to get rid of. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times the way that we get to where we want to be is to rid ourselves of some things that weigh us down? You know, the Bible says this. It says, you know, talks about the sin that so easily entangles us. So there's some of us here today, maybe, of course, all of us in some way or another, there's things that we need to get rid of, right? I mean, let's just be honest. There's just things in my life that I need to get rid of. There's things in your life that you need to get rid of. Look at the list that the Apostle Paul makes here. I think it's really, really neat. He says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. These are things that Paul says that we need to rid ourselves of. The things that can weigh us down, the things that can slow us down. You see, he tells us here the things that can entrap us. Anybody here bitter? Anybody here so mad you don't know what to do? Angry? Anybody here spoken any harsh words lately, maybe even today? Or been slanderous? Or all types of evil behavior. You know, the things that well up inside of us that we try to suppress, but we have such a difficult time with. Paul said these are the things that you need to get rid of. Now, like always, God never leaves us hanging. He tells us what we need to put in its place. He said, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You see, folks, that's the key. That's the key to making sure that we're evaluating who we are and evaluating our relationship not only with God, but with other people. Now, when you read this passage, obviously there's two things to it. Number one, we need to forgive. You know, we need to forgive. Why? Well, because God's forgiven us. You know, as if God has forgiven me, I should forgive others. Listen to what Colossians says. Never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. I mean, when I think about how God has forgiven me, how God has not held my past against me, what it should do is spur you on to forgive others. Forgive. Forgive why? Well, because the opposite doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. Job chapter 5 verse 2 says to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Foolish, yes, but nevertheless, it is an easy thing to do. I mean, does resentment ever cause you to do things that you wish you hadn't done? Does the resentment ever cause you to do stupid things? Had a fellow tell me one time, said that his marriage was going really well until he said to his wife one day, "Sweetheart, I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong." Wonder how that worked out. I mean, sometimes we hold grudges, we're bitter, we think we're right. And a lot of times what it does is it keeps us from getting to the place that God wants us to be. Someone described this kind of resentment, this kind of bitterness, as a moment in time when you shoot yourself and you hope that the recoil of the gun hits the person that you're mad at. Isn't that true? I mean, when we refuse to forgive, when we're bitter, resentful, it usually ends up hurting us a whole lot more than it hurts the other person. Job chapter 18, verse 4 says you're only hurting yourself with your anger. It does no good. Job chapter 21 says some men stay healthy till the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. And that's the place we will get to if we allow these kinds of feelings to overtake us. Forgiveness. Forgiveness why? Well, another reason is because you're going to need to be forgiven at some point. I don't mean in the past, I don't mean right now, but sometime in the future, you're going to need forgiven. Mark says it this way in chapter 11, when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins. Resentment, the Bible says, blocks us receiving what we need most from God. You know, Jesus prayed a dangerous prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, where he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We need to forgive others because there will come a time when we will need forgiveness. So here's the point, okay? Not just why, but how. How do I get to that point? You know what? There's not a one of us in here this morning that haven't been there. Maybe we're there right now. We have something. We have a bitter root in our soul. We have an anger that's hard to get rid of. We have a situation going on in life or with our family. How do we get to this point where we easily offer forgiveness? Well, you know, we have to make ourselves vulnerable. You know, God taught me this really in a big way just this week. We have a situation in our family. My mother's only surviving brother, my uncle, lives in South Carolina. And several years ago, he sent word to the entire family, to his children, to his siblings, to us, his nieces and nephews. And he just said, I don't want to talk to any of you ever again. Leave me alone. So it's been years since he talked to his children. Well, I haven't talked to him in quite a long time. And, you know, it had just been this way. And it had just become, you know, it was something that he wanted. And we didn't know quite why. But we just kind of left it there. Well, he has cancer. He has cancer. His daughter, that he hadn't spoken to in a decade, left California, went to South Carolina to be with him. She calls me. She said, "John, would you call him? Would you call Dad?" I said, "Sure." And you know what? I'll admit to you, there was a part of me, it's like, why should I call him? He won't talk to me. Hadn't talked to me. But I told her, you know, I said yes, and I called him, and I rang the phone, and it started ringing, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say to this guy? What's the first words out of my mouth? And we had a conversation. It was kind of a good conversation. I don't need to tell you all that, but I will tell you how it ended. He said, "John, I love you. Thanks for calling." Listen, folks, if we make that step, well, I mean, we can stay back and we can be resentful, we can be angry, we can wish, you know, all these things hadn't happened. But I'm telling you, folks, when you take that step and offer love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, a lot of times that person will take a step towards you. But to do that, you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable. What you also have to do is you have to release that person from your offender prison. You need to let them go. You need to stop holding on to the hurt. How do you do that? How do you release an offender? By forgiving them. How do you do that? You do that by forgiving them as God forgave you. Because God has forgiven you, and you need to forgive others. And you're going to need forgiveness in the future. And that kind of bitterness just simply makes you miserable anyway. Don't you think it's ironic that Jesus said, when asked, "How many times do I forgive?" And he basically said, "As many times as it's needed," or "as many times as you have the opportunity to offer it." And then what we do, folks, is we replace that hurt with the peace that only God can give. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. But there's a second part of this, okay? Forgive. Forgive because God forgave you. Make that step toward forgiveness. The second one, though, is even tougher. And that's making amends. Making amends for the things that you've done, for the things that you've said. You know, it's such a difficult part of the equation. Why do you do that? You do that because unresolved relationships are the root of your problem, and they prevent recovery from ever happening. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 says. It says, "Watch out that no bitterness takes root in you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." He's saying the reason you can't get over that habit, that hang up, let go of that hurt, it's because it's holding on to you and because you're holding on to it. And these unresolved relationships many times lead to that kind of deep hurt. So, how do you make amends? Well, let me just give you a short little list here to help you with it. Number one, you make a list. You make a list of those that you've harmed and what you did. Now you say, "Well, I can't think of anybody." And here's the whole thing. I kind of thought that you might say that. Might think that, because that's the way we do. So let me give you some help, some starters. Here's a good one. Is there anyone that you owe a debt to that you haven't repaid? Put it on the list. Is there anyone that you've broken a promise to? Put it on the list. Is there anyone that you're overly possessive of? Is there anyone that you're hypercritical of? Is there anyone that you have verbally abused? Is there anyone that you physically abused? Anyone emotionally that you've abused? Is there anyone that hasn't appreciated, that you haven't appreciated, or you haven't paid attention to, or you've forgotten some important event in their or your life together? Is there anyone you've been unfaithful to? Anyone that you've lied to? How's that for a start? You see, it's so easy to think, you know what, I can't think of anybody that I need to make amends to. But you spend some time alone with God and He'll help you make that list, and it'll probably be a long list. And then what you do is you take that list and you ask yourself, what can I do to make these situations right? Luke chapter 6 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. So stop and think if, and many of these things probably have been done to you. Stop and make a list. What would I want somebody to do for me? What would I want somebody to say to me? How would I want somebody to respond that have done these things to me? And then make the commitment in your own heart and life to do that. Now, here's the things you need to think about as you do that. Number one is time. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6, there's a right time and a right way to do everything. You don't just drop a bomb on somebody. You don't just blow up their life. You don't just knock on their door and just put it all right out there. Pray about it. Contemplate it. How's the best way to bring this up or to go about making amends? There's always a right time. Secondly, there's also a right attitude. Ephesians chapter 4 says what? It says, speak the truth in a spirit of love. I mean, how would you like somebody to apologize to you? Privately, with humility, with sincerity, to simply say what they did wrong, not to make any justification for it, no excuses, not talk about it anymore, but assume responsibility and ask for your forgiveness. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe that's what you need to do. You also need to make restitution where possible. I mean, if you borrowed something or not returned something or stolen something or taken something, read and think about the story of a little guy in the Bible named Zacchaeus. You know that story, right? Jesus came to his house, tax collector. In those days, whatever you could charge people, you would. And he was convinced through his faith in Jesus that he had wronged people, and he made it right, and even more so. And what he emphasized was the more serious the offense, the less likely you're going to be able to make restitution. But you need to make an effort at that. And then finally, you need to ask yourself about it being appropriate. Proverbs says, thoughtless words can wound as deep as any sword, but wise words spoken can heal. There are some situations where it'd be unwise to contact the one that you've hurt. And I just say to you, when that's the case, give it to God and sincerely ask Him to make a difference in that person's life. And then what we do is we refocus our life on doing God's will, starting with relationships with other people at that point. Do things differently. Remember the story of Job? I mean, Job's life fell apart, right? He lost everything. He lost everything that he owned, lost all of his family, lost his health. Everything in Job's life was gone. One of the most interesting parts of the story of Job is that at a certain point in his life, when everything had fallen apart, he had some friends come and offer him advice. And for the most part, we have kind of poo-pooed those friends. I've never said that word in church before, but I just did. It's not down here anywhere. It just came out. You know the story I'm talking about, though? He had these friends that came and gave him this advice. And most of the time, it's bad advice. You know, there's one section in that encounter with his friends that I think is very insightful and even helpful, not only to Job, but for us. It comes from Job chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. Let me show it to you. His friend tells him, he says, put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm, courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. I think what this friend did was that he gave Job the three keys, and then because it's recorded here, we are given these three keys of how we can, after we get on the road to recovery, after we find recovery, when we find sobriety, when we find sanity, when we find wholeness, Here's the three keys of being able to stay there. Look at it. Let me show it to you. Maybe they jump out at you like they did at me, but he says, first of all, put your heart right. Isn't that a great word? You know, folks, you cannot change the past, but you can deal with it. Seek forgiveness, offer forgiveness, make amends. And then what you have to do is you have to say, you know what, God, I want my heart to be right. And then secondly, he says, then reach out to God. You see, to some people, those things might seem like the same thing, but they're very different. Put your heart right. That's internalizing my faith in God, and I'm just going to trust in Him. Reach out to God means in how you live, what you say, where you do, what you do, where you go. Reach out to God. In other words, reach out to Him and allow Him to make a difference in your life. And look at the third thing. Then he says, then face the world again. Isn't that great advice? Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Then go back into the world. But you go back into the world different, firm and courageous. And all your troubles will fade from your memory. Wouldn't you want that? He said, and then he gives this illustration. It's like floods that are past and remembered no more. You know, I went to my hometown recently. And when you come into Pennington Gap, Virginia, there's only one way. Okay, my hometown's so small. One sign, welcome to Pennington Gap. The other side of the sign, welcome to Pennington Gap. It's in between those. That's how small my hometown is. Okay, you come in on one road, and I remember 1976 when I was just a kid, great flood, washed out that entire part of town. And I remember in that particular part of town, there was a Kaz Walker grocery store, and it flooded so terribly that people were on the railroad track with fishing nets, picking up and grabbing loaves of bread as it floated down the river. I thought of that because I had this passage on my mind as I drove in there. And it says, like floods that are past. And I looked at all the green stuff, you know, the school and the Taco Bell, which wasn't there then, but I'm so glad it is now. You know, all this and the little grocery store, it's gone now, but there's something else in that same building. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. Have you ever been in a flood? I mean, when you get it cleaned up, when you get it fixed, when you get it rebuilt, and that's what he's talking about. And when you get to that place, what do? Well, what you do is you make your heart right, you reach out to Him, and then you face the world again, but you face the world differently. Let me tell you something. It is a wonderful thing to do to face the world forgiven. To face the world offering forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing to go out into the world having made amends, not only to God, but to others that you have hurt. And that's what God is offering to all of us. You know, I found a video this week that I think just puts this into perspective as to what God wants to do with your brokenness and my brokenness. So let's use this to end our time together and allow God to kind of cement this whole idea of us being broken and what He can do with us and through us when we offer and receive forgiveness and we make amends. Watch this.
I am seeking, searching for the things this world has rejected, the things that are broken, that are flawed, thrown away and discarded. I seek the lost, the damaged, the forgotten things, the overlooked and the neglected, the things that have been pushed aside and left behind. Why do I do this? Why chase after that which is despised by so many? It is because I have chosen the rejected. I bring restoration to the broken. I see beyond the flaws and the imperfections, and I bring new life to the lost. this world has called them useless and garbage, hopeless and unwanted. They have been scarred, abused, ignored, and unloved. But I have reclaimed them. And they belong to me now. They are my masterpiece. And I have a plan and a future for every single one. For I am crafting these dissonant and discarded pieces into something beautiful.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you can take us even though we're broken. And that, Lord, you can make us, you can make our lives into something beautiful. Lord, I know when it comes to brokenness that we're all broken. Maybe to different degrees, but we're all broken. And I pray, Lord, that we can find restoration through seeking your forgiveness and offering that forgiveness to others. That, Lord, we can find you through our responsibility to make amends. And that, Lord, we can take this advice given to Job and we can get rid of all these things that weigh us down. And that, Lord, we can truly and forever trust in you. May that scripture, Lord, that in Christ we are new creations, we're a new creature. God, help us to know that fully and without reservation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.